Don't hear the intro. Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio and eCity Stargate. Although we are holding off on YouTube, I think I'm going to just put my Arnold the Pig videos up on YouTube till they kind of chill out on their censorship and other nonsense. But we've got a lot going on. We've got, we're opening May 5th. Everybody keeps asking us, when are we opening May 5th? And we're open for Skywatch and whatever else is going on there. And we have... Also, a healing transformational gathering May 19th to the 22nd. And that's with Cameron and his daughter. And I'm brain farting right now, but it's just a good group. All the information is on the site. Also, I have my workshop, the Self-Mastery Ambassador Training Workshop, is June 24th to the 26th. But we'll be doing other events there too, as well as we get open. But right now we're just kind of a skeleton crew and I'm not there. And a little heads up about Hawaii. Like, everybody wants to know where I am and wants to come to Hawaii. And we're just not set up for it right now. So, we just don't have the facilities. We don't have rooms. We don't have water. We don't have power. We do have some power, but it's limited for like two or three people. And then we're overtaxed, but we're fixing that. We're organizing all that because we are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it's beautiful and love it out here. So that's the also the Secret Space Conference on May 5th. Tyler and Journey to Truth is doing that one. So check that out. That's all the announcements for now. We just went through a full moon, interesting full moon. Chickens crowed all night here and the frogs are going crazy, but yeah, I've learned just to adjust to that. And, boy, talk about the jungle coming alive on a full moon. But I've got some great hosts. I got some great guests tonight. We've got Tricia Margus and Megan Rose. And there's a few things I want to cover right now, a few subjects. And I think it'd be great to have them come on and talk about it. And, one is the divine feminine, what's happening to the divine feminine, you know, with all these athletes saying that they're female and then just totally, they've taken over sports now. It's just getting really bad. And I can go on and on, but there's some weird concepts about what the divine feminine is. And they're kind of getting off the mark. In my opinion, being a man, I should not have opinion, but I would just go from there. So welcome to the show, Tricia and Megan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having me as well.
Yeah, and also too, just consider this your show. So whatever you want to talk about, whatever comes up, feel free. You know, I just wanted to start off on that subject because I've been seeing this again and again in the spiritual community and the UFO community both, but mainly in the spiritual community and it's been going for a long time where they have women's gatherings and there's a lot of unhealed women coming to these gatherings and then they attract unhealed spirits because it's the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And I was at one gathering once and I looked up and I saw this goddess energy, but her hair was half black and half white. And I go, what is that? I asked the masters, what is that? And they said, well, she's she's a wounded goddess, you know? And and it was kind of interesting. So I wanted to talk a little about the dynamics of that and the difference between white magic and black magic, and how when you're trying to control another or force your will on another, or, you know, people think that's power, it's actually not. And that's when you're getting into black magic versus the white magic is always healing. And, you know, a lot of the whole thing about witchcraft too is like there's the positive side where they're herbologists and they're midwives and things like that, and they know what herbs to use. And then you have the other side that casts spells and things like that. So, I mean, that's a lot to talk about. So whoever wants to go first, looks like, why don't you go ahead, Megan, you're on the screen.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's a fine line between black and white magic. It's kind of like a little tightrope, and it depends on your intention. But I think that it's really easy. The problem is when you're wounded already, the beings on the astral plane can see it. So they're just waiting for you to call on them, or waiting to come in, basically. And I think a lot of people may have been tricked into thinking they're doing white magic, but they're actually doing black magic. And, you know, calling it rituals or whatever you want to call it. And you can say that it's, you know, you're calling on the natural healing properties of the earth, but really you're putting out a negative energy and receiving it back. And a lot of times, anytime you do any type of black magic, you're working with the astral entities and calling on them and asking them to do favors for you. And I posted something on Telegram the other day that doing black magic is like asking the government for help. Like, you might get a few handouts, but nothing's ever really free.
Yeah.
Every spell has a price, and eventually they'll come back to you and they'll just basically hijack you and take you over.
Yeah, good analogy. Trisha, do you have some input on that? Or
I think the way Megan explained it is really well. I'm not very familiar that much with black magic and what that all entails. But from what I do understand with energy is that your intention is the most important thing, right? And when you have, let's say you're seeking and you're wounded, you're going to attract exactly what you're seeking. And so the way to heal through that, in my opinion, is to look deeper within and find the root cause of where these maybe the things you don't want to look at are there, and find out where the root of these emotions are, because that is where we can begin. Like, you look at the seed that's planted in the ground, and once you look at that seed, then you can understand its core element of what it is, and then you can allow the tree to blossom in a way that maybe you could consider like more white magic, right? It's gearing you towards the direction that is divine and that is pure, versus the intent that maybe you grow as a seed and you start growing into a weed versus a flower.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, good analogy. The it's really I've really seen a lot of people that have not done their homework. You know, they haven't faced their own shadow side, and they're out there, you know, and profess themselves as teachers and masters, and, you know, take names on, and high level names and things like that. And, you know, I've seen that. I've seen people come up to me, and I know their past. They did a lot of drugs and a lot of mushrooms and a lot of ayahuasca and everything. And they come up to me and they go, I channel Archangel Michael, you know, like this. And it's a badge to them. And they kind of fried their brain a bit, you know, in doing so. But, what do you say? You know, it's just, you just say, well, I didn't even know what to say. I said, well, that's nice. And I just kind of walked away. But you see a lot of that where people are trying to be somebody and they already are somebody. They just haven't figured that out yet. I mean, at their core, they're God or their creator. That's at the core of everybody. But they're trying to be somebody and gain acceptance and approval outside of themselves exteriorly. And it's not an exterior thing. It's an interior thing. And when you have it on the interior, you empower others to have their own internal connection with creator or whatever. But I'm really saying it was it was happening before, but now with all this energy coming in, it's almost epidemic. It's reaching epidemic stages.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Like, for, honestly, for the past 6 months, it's been serpent beings, astral level entities coming through people. And it's been literally crazy. I mean, the chaos will manifest on this plane, but it's already happened in a higher level. So the fourth density, the fourth dimension. So just imagine what it looks like on that level when it's already manifested here, you know? Yeah. But if you're in alignment, if you're working with the higher beings and you're working in alignment with source, then you are the force, you are source, right? So you'll draw everything to you, and there's no need to do magic to exert manipulation or control over other people or get entities to do work for you. But there's always, and they're very tricky too, you know, the way that they'll approach people pretending they're the great pretenders, you know, and they'll give you a name drop, talk about being gods or creators and stuff like that. And it's always the name of the game, getting people to worship them and putting themselves on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. You know, and the serpent beings, I was going to say the only extraterrestrials that I know to work with magic or black magic are actually the reptilians and the Vatican. So once you start tying ETs into magic, most likely you may be working with those types of beings, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, nothing like I've ever seen.
it's not. The thing about I love what one of the teachers I said, you know, he's talking about creator, and he says, you can't outgive creator. It's like the sun, and it's just giving, and it's the energy is flowing through. But as soon as you identify it and put an identity to it, and as soon as you say, I did this, or I did that, or I was this, or I was, then you limit that flow. You limit that connection. And ultimately, God is love, and God serves, and God empowers the individual. And somebody asked me about why were we created? And I said, because creator wanted company. And yeah. He didn't want slaves. He didn't want worshiper or she or whatever name you want to get. It's not really he or she. But I'm going to get shot on the pronouns here. But it's so far beyond that. There's no words to explain what it is. But as soon as we limit it into an identity or a name or whatever else, we start diminishing our power.
And then it goes into the spiritual ego, right? That you say that, oh, I was this person in past life or this being, or I connect with this collective. And then it really just puts you in a category and limits you by yeah. the borders of whatever that category is. So I think something that's really important that you've touched on with the different substances that people take and stuff. It's not that those are, I think, inherently bad, but I think they open doorways that people might not be spiritually able to handle. And so that's when they can have different attachments and things will connect them like a straw, like when you're drinking a juice, you know, like it'll be the yeah. same thing. And people aren't aware of that, which is important because not everything that's out there is like a wonderful, pleasant thing to connect to, you know, and they'll tell you different things with these masks that they put on. But something that I find important to do is if you connect with these beings, you kind of have to like test them and ask them who they really are, because the universal truth is universal.
Yeah,
I had a random thought. I'm going to interrupt you. the whole thing, I've noticed this. I came across a post the other day about how men, since we're talking about the divine feminine, how men can now have pregnancies and get pregnant.
Yeah.
completely ridiculous. I don't stand for it at all. And the reason is it's a Luciferian concept. It's confusing the genders and confusing the divine feminine and the divine masculine concepts. You need the pure version of both in order to manifest. And so what they're doing is they're socially engineering people to confuse those principles and cutting us off from that source of creation. So random thought, that's my opinion.
No, it is. There is a plan. People ask me about that. They go, is there a plan? I go, of course there is. The plan is to divide. Divide us through race, religion, culture, gender. The whole plan is divide and pit us against each other, because then we're not watching them and what they're doing. And so, you know, divide and conquer. That's always been the program. And they want to destroy the family unit. And anything that resembles that unit, they want to, you know, take it out. And now they're going after the children, which I think is their, that's the end. You know, when they go after the children, that's when everybody steps in, you know, so it's, and, you know, we've seen it, you know, not, it's kind of a heavy subject, but we're seeing it with the child trafficking and the sex trafficking and all this stuff being exposed now. And people are just going to get sick when they find out who is involved in this stuff, how many people, how many icons are going to fall. And how many famous people are going to fall and how many leaders are going to fall when this is all, when it all comes out. And which goes back to external. Again, they're worshiping these people externally. And if they went within, they would feel and sense who these people are, you know, what they're really about.
But on top of that, what they are doing internally to people is dividing their mind within, right? They're polarizing people to be either extremely masculine in their mindset or so feminine that they both have their place. But if you're too polarized in one or the other, you can't make a balanced decision, right? Yeah. And so going to what you were saying with Leah Thomas, right? This is a biological man who did not rank in swimming in sports, like I think 400th place or something, when they were competing against men. Now, I don't know what their true motivation is, but now when they go and play as a woman because they feel like one, which is really, I think, a result of some kind of maybe not nurtured, like a wounded feminine aspect of them. Maybe they didn't get to express their emotions as a child or something was wounded there that now they feel they have to compensate and have that physical look of a woman and then compete against women and rank first place and forget about the physical aspects. That is wild. If you look at the, like today, my partner and I were talking and we were looking at, just look at the podium, right? You have the first place winner, Leah Thomas, and you've got like second, third, and fourth place. Those three biological women came together and supported one another, which is what I think true femininity is about, is coming together, having that group. Like women always walk in groups, we talk, we go to the bathroom together. You know, there's that genuine feminine collective that will support one another no matter what's going on around you. And then you see someone here who, yeah, they won first place, but he didn't even look at they didn't even look at the other women as part of who they are. You know, does that, I don't know if I'm making too much sense there, but the mindset and the feeling that was generated, I think just from looking at the podium itself, spoke a lot about the energies at play there. And you want to have, like with the divine feminine, you want to be nurturing, you want to be compassionate, being able to showcase true, like unconditional love. Is something that I think is so beautiful about it. And the masculine is absolutely capable of doing that too, but they come at it from a different perspective, you know, by protecting and honoring and being one with their word. Like that is all beautiful aspects of each side. And I don't know. That's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah. I know with the Vatican still hasn't released Mother Mary's message, you know, about exactly what and the reason why is because she chastises them and talks about what's going to happen to them and because of what they've done and how they, you know, they stole the teachings, you know. It's like but you know, it's pretty heavy duty and very condemning, and also this is what's going to happen to you for doing that. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't cover but each pope read the letter, had it in his desk and sealed it and just would not come through and talk about what she said because it was so condemning, you know, to the church. And now I'm seeing that's coming up again. It's like she had to flee, like Mary Magdalene had to flee for her life, you know, to get away from after they kind of hijacked the religion. And Jesus said, out of all my disciples, he goes, Mary is the most qualified to continue in my teachings. And they found this written in the ancient scripts. And so, you know, and she had to flee and hide, and they were trying to take her out because they did not want that divine feminine to go forward. And this has been going on for a long time, but it's almost like that same energy is surfacing again, trying to shut out the feminine, the divine feminine, push them out of the way. And it's not going to work because, you know, I had a vision once and I saw Mary with a baseball bat, you know, behind her. And I said, I go, she's coming in with a bat and she's not happy with what's happened with the children and things. And it's short, you know, what's going to come is going to be quick and hard and short. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I agree with what Tricia said, is the divine feminine is sticking together. And, you know, other goddesses, if you're a goddess, you empower another goddess. It makes you both stronger because you both understand the unity consciousness. You're both part of source, right? So empowering you empowers me. And the wounded divine feminine is putting another person down to boost yourself up, which is the Vatican programming, the cabal programming. And speaking of Mary Magdalene, look at what they did to her. She went down in history as a whore. They wrote her off as a whore in the Bible. And she's the most qualified person, as you just said. So, but it's all coming back. You know, once the healed divine feminine makes its way into this plane, then it's really over for them, you know?
Yeah. She was part of the royal family and she was also very adept. She went through all the Egyptian mystery schools and everything. And she even helped Jesus to ascend. And, you know, and people are going to have a hard time with this, but some of that was tantric, you know. And
that's what I wanted to bring up. Mm-hmm.
That divine
partners together.
Connection that helped him to ascend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you get the satanic principle of gender confusion, where they're trying to confuse the genders, because if you don't have that combination, right, you won't be able to ascend as easily and bring that pure energy here. So
I think what scares them most is the conservative rednecks, you know, the guys that are going, watch this, you know, and they shoot for fun, you know, and things like that. They're going, oh no, we got to get a lot of soy into their system and things like that. And you know, demasculinate them or, you know, it's funny because that's, you know, we need the rise of the divine male to happen too, along with the divine feminine. So, and the male needs to back up. And I told people this, I said, you know, this is hard to explain, but we're both male and female within ourselves. We have, and we have those energies, and they're positive, negative energies, yin yang, whatever you want to call them. Everybody has a different name for them. And when we balance those within ourselves, we're doing great, but we can't deny that we're here biologically as one or the other. You know, one will push a little more than the other, but the old program, which I think is still a good program, is the male stood up for the woman. He protected the woman. You know, he definitely there's a difference. You know, communication is not always so great, but men think with their head, and so they're in the intellect a lot more, and they're very good at getting things fixed and done and stuff like that. Well, women by nature are more in the emotional body, which is much bigger. It's a much bigger body. It has access to more information. And it's faster, it operates faster. And so being subjective and in the emotional body allows you to connect to creator. That's your connection to source. And so it's backwards when the intellect and the ego takes over and wants to run the show. It's like really the feminine should be receiving the information and the male should be helping to make it happen within all of us. You know, that's the balance between ourselves. We meditate, become subjective to spirit, we get the information and then we make it happen. And that's the balance. And they're just trying to kill that balance. They're doing a pretty good job from what I've seen. And they're doing it on every level. They're doing it with chemicals, they're doing it with food additives, they're doing it with what they're spraying. They're doing it on every level, trying to mess with that, with kind of like the natural order. And I'll get in trouble for that, for even saying that, but it's what they're doing. They're trying to manipulate things. And then now with what they're doing with the kids and these gender things and with kindergartners and things like that, that is insane. That is the last straw. I'm sure the higher beings are saying, okay, enough, leave the kids alone. Let them be a kid, you know?
They're bringing it to school. My neighbor actually is moving to a different state because in school, he has an 8-year-old. They wanted her to decide if she was a boy, girl, or if she wasn't sure. They sent out like a little letter for her to fill out, and you know, he was like, no, we're moving, you know?
That yeah, sounds you have horrible. I can only imagine, like, I feel like the innocence of a child should be kept so sacred because kids don't need to know this kind of stuff. Like when they're 8 years old, that is, it's so unnecessary to confuse kids. Like I can tell you as a kid, I was like a tomboy kind of girl. Yeah. And so I knew I liked like kid Kevin in my like first grade class. I knew I liked boys. Right. But I was definitely more like, just, I like to play with bikes and go outside, you know, but if someone would have like programmed me and said, oh, do you like girls? And I'd be like, no, but it would be extremely confusing, you know, like, and it kills the kid's innocence. I think we should protect the innocence as much as we can, you know, because there's a time and place. And as kids grow, they will learn the things that are important to learn. But I can't even imagine that what parents have to deal with now and what they're doing in society. I mean, they're taking they're making everything backwards. Like it's so off, and they're not letting people just be who they are and experiencing that. Because if you like try and take certain experiences away from kids, they're going to have to relive it later on. Right. Like if you don't let a kid try all these different avenues and play dress up with their little sisters and go outside and ride bikes, they're going to be like, well, why was I not allowed this? Maybe they'll take it and they'll run with it the wrong direction when they're older. You know, in a way that seems so off balance, which I think is what is happening with a lot of these kids that are being like kind of pushed into more transgenderism. They're just so young to make such a decision. And the parents are just trying to be kind of politically correct, you know, and to say, this is the right thing. I want to support little Johnny. But I think you have to give them the balance and the experiences before they can make such a life-changing decision that isn't actually scientifically proven to really be always the proper decision long-term. People can change their minds a couple of years after, but the effects and the surgeries that they've done aren't reversible.
Yeah, it's a phase. It's like they're going through a phase, but it's permanent now. Mm-hmm. It's
sad.
It blows me away. I go, how sick can you get? How much sicker, you know, I shouldn't even say that. How much sicker can this society get? And it goes into that thing where I was talking about how there's so much inhumanity right now on the planet because there's been so much non-human interference. And and people don't realize that. I think I wrote a chapter in my book called Parenting Masters. And it was all about teaching kids how to, you know, live under universal law, teach them what universal law was, how to be kind to each other and respect the, you know, the sacred circle of life. But also, you know, parenting masters, the parents really need to learn how to keep the energy clear around their kids until they learn how to do it themselves. Because there are these influences. And I'm saying, the counseling work we do, I see it all the time. 3 years old, these kids are hammered by these unseen negative influences trying to hijack their sole purpose and get them off track. And the more powerful the kid is, the more they get hammered, the more they have stuff come in and create trauma and childhood experiences. And the parents can, you know, it's not that hard. You know, it's on our website, how to clear these unseen negative influences. And we have to take that into account because you can see what's unfolding on the planet. It's inhuman. And there's no other way of expressing that, especially what's happening with the children and the underground places and things they're cleaning up.
Yeah, I was going to say it's part of the satanic religion. If you notice, a lot of celebrities are into like dressing their boys up as girls and so on. Mm-hmm. And it's because to be part of their, you know, organization, they either have to sacrifice their firstborn or they have to turn their child into the opposite sex. And it's because they believe that if they do that, if they turn their child into a different sex, it will become a vessel for other energies to come in into it. So, and it's not the good energies, it's the bad energies. So they believe it's in service to their God, aka the devil, to do that to their child. So what they're programming everyone to do is turning their children into being vessels for these entities or demonic entities and serving their dude, their guy. So
yeah, good old Lucy. They I know that it, like, confusion is an opening. It's a door. The more confusion, whatever, however you're doing it, the more you can get somebody confused and not knowing what's going on, and the more you can fraction their personality so they don't know whether they're male or female or they're in confusion, the easier it is for entities to come in and jump into that vessel.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the name of the game is confusing yeah. everybody to smithereens.
And they may be using AI to do it too. AI is really powerful, so that can confuse people too.
You know, I've seen on my phone, I just got rid of my phone. I won't say which carrier it was, but they asked me, they go, "You've been with us 22 years. Why are you getting rid of this phone? Why are you leaving us?" And I said, "Because I have the phone from hell. It calls people randomly. It's sitting on the table. It's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's where it knows my thoughts, you know, when I think about doing something and I pick up the phone and there it is, I go, whoa, wait a second, you know, and the ads and everything, you know, and it's that AI and whatever else is going on. And I don't know how, I know there's all these programs and things, but it's almost become sentient and it knows what you're thinking or whatever. But I had so many problems with my phone, and it's just a tracking device anyway. You know, they track you wherever you go and know whatever you do. So, yeah. So I just said, you know, I've never seen anything like this, and this phone is not my friend, and I'm getting rid of it. And you know, they are probably all that way. I had a friend that worked inside the agencies, and he said, when you get a phone, you have a choice between NSA and CIA.
Yeah.
No, one of them is going to be monitoring you, maybe both, I don't know, but he told me which brand goes with the NSA, which brand goes with the other one. Yeah.
So sometimes I know they'll be listening to a certain, like if I'm having a conversation talking about other things, so I'll always say hi to them because I know they've probably tapped my phone for sure. So
I mean, all of our phones are being tapped, absolutely. The way that they've engineered these phones, it's ingenious in how ingrained in society it's become that everyone has one. It's a device that listens, whether it's on, it's off. The algorithms basically know, they track your eyeballs, they track everything on there to find ways to suck you in more. It's really, as evil as it is, it's also really impressive with what they've done in such a short amount of time. Yeah. Truly.
I mean, I was looking into some of this technology, this new technology and internet technology and things like that. And I asked the beings about it. And I said, this stuff is getting insane, what they can do and everything. And they said, it's alien technology. They said it's borrowed technology now that they're using. And like anything, it could be used for good or bad. But I really, if you give somebody, you know, full surveillance, they can and control over your bank account, your life and everything else, they can do whatever they want. And before it's just, you know, control the money, you control the everybody, you know, and now it's control the AI and you control everybody. It's just another step up, you know?
Yeah. I know the technology has been a problem, and I know, from up there, the Federation and the higher beings are trying to help the Alliance dismantle all of it, all of the bad tech. And a lot of it, I know, was with the AI, is they recreated the grayest technology from underground bases. And that's what they're doing now. So, and hooking people.
The hive mind, they're trying to create that hive mind and have everybody, you know, and that's, you know, it's the worst place you can go. You know, people, everybody has their own unique soul purpose, and becoming a hive is going to be anti-ascension, anti-evolution, everything. You know,
Yeah, they are trying to recreate the hive. That's what they're doing. Yeah. But I don't think they'll be successful. At least I hope not.
I don't think so. I think more people are becoming aware of the technology within themselves. Right? The more organic things that you can just, if you look at the younger generations, it seems like people are very much just more naturally spiritual. Like every generation is a step above the one before. And as much of technology that we have that can be used for like controlling and manipulating and creating this hive mind, I do feel that the inner technology that we have within ourselves is becoming more powerful and more acknowledged by everyday people. like there's the things that could have been like taboo to talk about even 5 years ago seem like it's way more normal and accepted, you know, the consciousness is raging and raising. And I think there's going to be a lot of interesting leaps to happen in the future. Just with just everyday people, they're just realizing the power within themselves, the blueprint we have, it's straight from source, right? There are no mistakes within it. And we all have different abilities we can tap into.
Yeah, we have that. We have the genes of the gods. We just have to activate them. And there's no such thing as junk DNA. I talked to this one woman. It was really funny today. We went to this little flea market thing, and I was talking to this woman. She recognized me or something. It was really interesting. We were talking, and she was going, "I work with the Andromedans," and all. And, you know, we're. It was kind of funny, but we were talking about all this stuff, and she goes, "Everybody here thinks I'm insane," you know. And I said, "Well, you are. You're in sanity. The rest of the world is out of sanity." And she goes, "I like that." And I said, "That's what, you know, they've tricked us into thinking that, you know, the people that are sane, that are aware of their own divine energies and creative energies and things like that, they've tricked us, you know, that, you know, if you hear voices or if you're talking to other dimensions or higher, you're ridiculed and labeled as schizophrenic and things like that." And I know a lot of people that are now counselors, and they were like one step away from a rubber room. They were going to be committed. And all they had to do is learn how to heal the nasty voices and talk to the good voices. And now they're counselors, and they're working, you know, beautiful, helping people, insights, you know, they're getting divine messages for people. And that was all they needed, was the tool on how to heal on seeing negative influences, and instead they drug them, you know, and all they needed is a good friend or a good parent or somebody that's awake to help them out, to talk them through this and give them a few tools. And that was it.
Yeah. I've been called crazy too many times now. Like, it's not going to work anymore.
It wears off. The meaning of it just doesn't really land. The
same, yeah, it just way wears off. Yeah,
I tell you, you really want to insult me, call me normal.
Yes.
You know, call me a normie. No, I don't get insulted very much, but I tell you what's really weird is that I had some energy I was dealing with about 4 days ago, and I never get mad. I just don't get mad. It never happens. And I had this one day where everything was going wrong, all these accidents, you know, pipes leaking. I cut my hand. I couldn't believe this. This is the worst. And I was just ignoring this energy and ignoring it. And then finally, I just finally stopped. And I had to release it. I just had to get rid of it. And I just went, boom, and I punched a wall, you know. And they go, "What are you doing?" I said, "I had to get rid of that." You know, I said, "I'm fine. I'm really fine. I had to get rid of that energy." I said something, and we did a clearing and finished it off and got rid of the rest of it. But it was like this crazy energy building up, and we found out where it was coming from, and you know, put up some shielding and severed those connections. But I go, "Wow." But there's always a part of me that's an observer. I'm watching myself, you know, react, and I can choose whether I react or don't react. And that time I just said, I need a release. I need to let this go. But I'm seeing that. And they also asked too, they said, that's the collective consciousness right now. There's people that are just so angry. A lot of people have lost everything. They've lost their businesses, their jobs, because of all this other games they're playing. And there's so much anger, and that's coming up, and it needs to be expressed. We need to get it out and express, and you know, it needs to find a home and maybe send it to where it needs to go versus take it out on your lover, your friend, or somebody else. It's like people need to go, okay, why am I angry? Is this anger justified? And maybe I need to take this energy. And in Tibet, they call it righteous anger, where you use that energy to you know, take care of the problem or whatever. It's kind of interesting, but you know, I try to just stay away. I don't engage it, because a lot of times if you engage it, they hook you, and then you're hooked into that realm and that energy and things like that. But it was the weirdest thing I ever saw. I go, "What is this?" And it was serpent beings. You know, it was like certain some reptilians. They're doing whatever they could to hijack things, you know. So, but I wasn't gonna let them.
Yeah, you can use, as long as you're the observer, you can at least have self-awareness that it's not you. You can clear it and transform it into something else. But the beings that were left behind, the gray reptilian hybrids, those ones really work with the anger and the negativity too. So yeah, they're working overtime. And, you know, when we started this conversation with black magic, they all work together to siphon the energy. And it can be difficult too, because the thing about those, specifically the serpent beings, actually, they're actually disgusting looking. Mm-hmm. Because just the energy of them is disgusting looking. Like, you have source, but you also have to have the polar opposite of source. And that's what these serpent beings really looked like to me. And so they can seem and appear very powerful, and it can be very enticing to people to work with them. And when someone is under their spell and they're working with these beings, people feel the power behind them, but they don't know where it's coming from, right? So you could think, you know, they're channeling Archangel Michael because they're so powerful, but really it's the opposite force, you know?
Yeah. You don't call on spirit to overpower another or to manipulate or control another, because then you're going to get a controlling, manipulating spirit. But if you do call on these higher beings for help, they're going to help you heal your connection, whatever old cords you have or past life connection, whatever else, so it doesn't bother you anymore. They're not going to go vanquish your enemies or whatever. They're going to empower you to where it's not going to affect you anymore. But I see people doing that, and they do these rituals and vanquish, and I'm sending this reptilian into this statue, and I'm doing, and they, it's a good story. You know, a lot of people like to hear those stories, and they go, oh, wow, I want to be like them, you know? And unfortunately, yeah, they don't really realize that, you know, they're working with, you know, the black magic or the darker forces. And that's going on. You know, we call them faker spirits, because they will come and they'll say, I'm Jesus, I'm this, I'm that. And we've had 5 or 6 people come to the ranch and say they were Jesus incarnate, and they were told that and everything else. And so they hooked him through flattery and also fear that if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you, and you're going to lose your family, you're going to die, or somebody close. You know, it's unbelievable the stuff they pull all the time. And you hear all this stuff and you say, why are you talking to this entity? You know, why are you even going there? Because they're powerful. And I said, no, they're not, you know.
I think it's important to realize like the power that we have within, right? And like, if you connect to your highest self and bring that down, that's going to be the truest, I think, most pure and less diluted source of information.
Yeah, exactly. Like, love is the ultimate power in the universe, you know, creator's love, and love is the manifesting force behind creation. So why give it up? You know, why would you settle for a lesser entity that's going to go and do your bidding? If they're going to go harm others and manipulate others, then you know, eventually they're going to, these beings don't know how to generate their own connection to source, so they're going to feed off of you. And I watch people that go take that path, and you watch them, they start aging really fast, their life force gets diminished, they get just sucked dry, and eventually you go, oh my god, you know what happened? And it's just because they, and it's not, some of them were just victims and they couldn't get out of the victim consciousness, and others actually made agreements and contracts to do this. And some were really victimized on a very heavy level. And they said, I'll do anything to get out of this, to save me, you know, get me out of this. And so they made an agreement, and the being they made an agreement with is not always, you know, in their highest and best good.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, they'll like to channel through people and get a mass following that way too, because then they can hook into more people. It's kind of like this big power play. So they also go after people too, like who have big YouTube channels or big followings, and try and manipulate people that way and say, you know, like interesting things, enticing things to get attention. And then the whole time they're basically sucking people's energy and starting their own religion, you know? Yeah.
Well, name dropping too, it's like I go, oh my god, when I hear that, I just go, oh my god, all right, whatever. And you know, or I'm working with this being and that being and this command and this council, and you just go, okay, whatever. But, you know, and there are, I'm not saying there aren't councils out there. There are definitely, you know, there's definitely, there's an Andromedan council, there's Palladian councils, the Orion Council of Light. And then there's the Orion Alliance, which is really bad. You don't want to hang out with those. That's the Greys and reptilian guys and stuff. And so it's very, there's so much going on. It's very convoluted and people don't realize it's not all, you know, goji berries and meditation and love and light. And it's not all dark either. It's a combination of both. And we have to develop our own inner sensitivity so we can sense the intention of these beings, the nature of these beings, and always do clearings anyway. If they're a high being, they'll be going, oh, good, you're doing clearings. You know, if they're a negative one, they're going, oh, stop that. You know, they're not going to like that.
Yeah, there's a reason why they call like clairvoyant and psychic people crazy. It's because they want you to inhibit your own intuition, your own psychic abilities. And also the entities don't want to be seen, right? And it's hard to fool someone when you can actually see the entity or see the reptilian or see the gray working through them. And they don't like it. So
I agree. Trisha, you have something on that or?
Well, I just agree with what you guys are saying here. I was just thinking of, have you guys ever heard of the idea that a different entities and stuff that are around others, that perhaps that could be an aspect of oneself that still needs to be healed?
Yeah, that can happen. Our past life is up, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, and it's in their field and manipulating them. They don't even know it's there.
Mm-hmm. And it just hasn't been integrated.
It could just be a trauma, you know, mm-hmm. a relationship trauma in this life. You might as well be an entity because it's doing the same thing. But until we clear our fields and get clear with our fields and know ourselves and know who we are and know and you know, and set boundaries, you know, these things are always going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important. And it's hard, like when you listen to someone like, well, who are they connected to? And you just listen to the message, or a lot of people rarely say what they actually mean. So like what I've trained myself to do is listen to the frequency of their voice or the energy of their voice or feel their energy and using your own intuition that way. But you have to be centered within yourself, right? So that you're not projecting your own trauma and pain to them. So it always goes back to basics of just meditating, sitting with yourself, knowing your own energy, and then you can see pretty clearly that way.
Yeah, I see a lot of people in the UFO community, they start name dropping, and they name drops like Clintons and Podestas and the Rockefellers and all these things, you know, their connections with them. And then they do the crocodile tears and the fake tears, and they hook people emotionally. you know, they do all that stuff on there, and you go, oh my God, can't you see what's standing next to these people? And nobody, and everybody falls for it. And they do this big old sad thing. And, you know, like I've been this and that, and they hook people through their compassion, you know, and through their, and then the next thing you know, it, you know, their bank account's gone, you know, and there is a lot of that going on, and people need to walk away from that. But, you know, you see that all the time going on, and you know, I just, they're good. I mean, these darker forces, they are very good at what they do. I have to give them credit. They know you better than you know yourself. They know where the chinks in your armor are. They know exactly how to trigger you, you know, how to manipulate you and use your own compassion against you. You know, it's amazing. They're very good. And until you recognize the chinks in your armor and heal them, or at least know what they are, you know, they're going to get in.
Yeah. There really are sometimes like really obvious reptilian shapeshifters sometimes running around there, you know. They don't hide themselves that well, but they're they really don't. But the reptilians, they have really, really strong psychic abilities and without the compassion, so they can just see right through you, and they'll use your family, everything you love, like dogs, you know, pets, whatever you love, they'll use against you, and they don't care at all, you know, so because they don't have that.
Yeah, you can. I mean, look at what they're doing with the children right now. And people go, how can they do this? And I said, you don't know who they are. They have no compassion for humanity. They see you as a food source, either an energy force. Some see us as a physical food source. And I said, they have no compassion whatsoever. And some just hate us. And because we have the genes of the gods, and we probably defeated them in the past. And so they're not happy about that. But now we forgot who we are, and so they can come and terrorize us. But that's coming to an end with the shift that we're going through, the Great Awakening, whatever name you want to give it. People are figuring out who they are, and they're standing up for themselves and saying, no, I'm not going that direction.
Yeah, it's not humanity's first rodeo. So we're definitely getting our pieces together, you know, integrating those parts that need to be healed and seeing through the BS that is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I would say people need to develop their own BS meter. You know, it's so imperative right now that develop your own inner sensitivity. If you are clairvoyant or clairsentient, use that talent and trust that first hit you get, you know, that first image or that first hit, because that's usually your soul saying, don't go there. This person got you in the past, you know, or whatever. And we allow ourselves to get talked out of that first hit, and then we have all kinds of trouble after that.
I think that humanity's just the understanding of our own intuition is something that we should really foster within younger children, and so they understand that first hit really is your soul speaking to you. It's never wrong, you know. And then when you allow all these other thoughts and the logical mind to come into play, like, it can guide you astray sometimes. But if we were to nurture that aspect for all kids that are for parents that have kids that are awake, and for parents that are awake, I think it's very, very important to nurture the intuitive hit and to know how that knowing within, because it's something that you can't tell somebody. You just know within. It's in your, like, in your gut, in your heart, and it just encompasses all of you.
Yeah, I knew a woman that she was extremely wounded, and she was a medicine woman kind of, and she had her own little trout pond, and she gathered all these women that just got through a divorce or whatever and was courting them and hooking into that. And she, you know, she liked women more than men, put it that way. I don't want to go there, but it was like, it was such a mess. And I was introduced to her, and a friend of mine said, can you come and meet her? And I said, oh yeah, sure. You know, I go in there, and oh God, man, she came unglued and just, and I go, whoa. And then Baba G showed me an image of that. Like, I had this big sparkler in my hand, and I pushed it into this womb in a way. And then it went kaboom, you know, everything came up. And I go, that's what that dream was about. Then I figured out it was like the enlightened male that was coming into that situation there. And it just blew everything came up. And it was crazy for a while. It was like all this psychic battle and astral battle going on and everything else. And I was going like, help me, Mr. Wizard, you know, what's happening here? And things are flying off, glasses flying and breaking and stuff like that. Cause it got to be it was a lot of black magic and a lot of nonsense going on there. And we have to be sensitive to that and realize, you know, those dreams, learn to interpret those dreams and the warnings and things like that. And realize sometimes that's your path. You know, you're there to do that. You know, you're there to trigger a response. You're there to show people what's really going on there. You know, it's like, but, you know, I don't go looking for trouble. You know, I have enough on my plate already. That's what I tell people. You know, but if it's in front of me, I'll deal with it. You know, it's like, I'll do what's necessary. But other than that, you know, I like to be out in nature as much as possible, and trees don't argue with you. You know, the plants we're okay, you know, and you know, I have a lot better time in nature and in animals, you know, although I have a pig that's starting to terrorize us.
I have heard about the wild boars in Hawaii.
Yeah, we have one. I made a pet out of him. I probably shouldn't have done it. And now he's like tearing everything up, and he just thinks he owns the place. And so I don't know what the next step is, but I threw a chair at him the other day just to get his attention. No, you can't steal our shoes and hats and tear up our plants and tear them out of the, you know, it's like, it was kind of funny, but you know, I don't know. We'll figure that one out. It's, I think we're coming up pretty close to the end of the hour. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you? Since I have you on, Tricia, I'll have you first. I know you have your 90 degree turn channel, and what's your website or that, and also those beautiful pyramids. We have that also where we'll be sponsoring those at ESETI and showing people these pyramids and things. So you can tune in there or get them through your site. But what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah. So I have a podcast called 90 Degree Turns. It is kind of spiritual based, very similar to what you do, James. And it started with you being on the show. So thank you for that many years ago. But the podcast is 90 Degree Turns. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. There's also a Telegram channel. So those are, I would say, the main, and Instagram would be the main social platforms to find it. And then these pyramids, they are made by Merlin's Lab. And that website is merlinslab.myshopify.com. I believe it'll be in the bio. But these are basically like orgone devices, and they're really wonderfully handcrafted. And they've have, like, you know, I'm sure we're familiar with how the original Giza pyramids had the golden caps.
Yeah.
And so they have that. And there's a lot of very interesting energy you could do with them. They're beautiful works of art, as well as scalar energy devices and organ energy devices. So yeah, that would be Merlin's Lab. And yeah, those are where you can find me. And I really enjoy talking to people and sharing the work that I do on the podcast. So thanks for having me on, James.
Great. And Megan, I know you've got some channels out there. What's the best way for people to get in touch with your messages? And
Well, I have my YouTube channel, Megan Rose, and then my website's Megan Rose Medium. I also do bi-weekly readings on my Patreon channel. So I'm Megan Rose Medium on there. And then I also have my book that I released last year, Welcome to the Future, and that's on Amazon. So
nice. Great book. Yeah. I highly suggest everybody get a copy of it. But anyway, you know, I can't thank you both for bringing some clarity to this. I mean, there's just so much craziness going on, and you know, that, you know, it's so weird because everybody wants that divine, feminine, nurturing love energy, and don't give it up. You know, it's one of the most powerful energies on the planet. So, and don't let some swimmer take away your medals. That is a guy that thinks he's a woman. but anyway, hey, we've got to sign off. Unfortunately, I always suggest everybody to keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and set boundaries when necessary now, and monitor yourself, and learn not to react, get into reactionary mind, get into that pure love and joy and bliss energy, and we'll get through this. But anyway, have a great evening, and rough times ahead. Have a good one.